everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Lab at 4. I'm Missy Matthews, joined today by Bob Labriola and Mike Prosciutto, and our special guest, Steelers team president, Art Rooney II. Art, thanks for taking some time to join us today.
Good to be here.
Let's start. We will talk a little bit about the owners' meetings that will be starting this weekend down in Orlando, Florida, but you did just receive news from the league office about the Tomlin incident that happened down in Baltimore.
Right. We were informed by the commissioner that there'll be no further discipline relating to the incident in Baltimore, so we don't have to worry about giving up a draft pick or anything like that, so we're glad to have that behind us.
Okay.
You know, or one of the things that I find somewhat interesting that's going to be discussed at these owners' meetings, the expanded playoffs. Can you talk a little bit about how you think that may go? And you have been on record as saying that there are certain things that you believe have to be maintained, let's say, in terms of some of the procedures in order to be in favor of expanding the playoffs.
Well, I do think expanding the playoffs will be part of the discussion in Orlando next week. I'm not sure that there'll be a consensus on actually going forward with it for the 2014 season, but I think a couple of things that are important to us. Number one is that the division seeding remain as is. Over the years, there's been some discussion about reseeding in the playoffs, and we just feel that the division rivalries are one of the great parts of our sport and something that's been a great part of Steelers football. And so I think that's a key that if that were part of it, would be against that. And then really depends on some of the other things that goes around scheduling and things like that. The impacts on that would impact on our vote. But I'd say going into it, we're not opposed. We have an open mind.
When you look at something like that, is there – a certain line you don't want to cross in terms of letting in X percent of the teams into the postseason? Do you want it to be special to be in the postseason, or is it more beneficial to keep more teams involved in the race as long as possible?
Well, I think that there are a lot of considerations, and certainly making sure that the regular season continues to be important and that every game during the regular season is an important game. I think that's something we have in our league now, and it's something that we want to keep. So I think the question, do you add one team from each conference? I think you could probably do that and preserve the situation in terms of the schedule being what you'd like it to be for the regular season. Going beyond that, I think you'd have to, ask the question, are we going too far? So that's why I say I think we have an open mind to it, but it would depend on the details.
Another rule change that could potentially come up is moving the extra point. I know the Patriots had said maybe to the 25-yard line, but Coach Tomlin also might have a different suggestion for that as well.
Yeah, the Patriots have a proposal on the table to push the extra point back to being snapped from the 20. But Coach Tomlin has mentioned his idea would be to move the snap or the line of scrimmage to the 1-yard line. And, that would cause people to think harder about going for two more often, which I think would actually be a better change than moving it back to the 20. So I don't think there's a consensus around this at this point, so I'll be a little surprised if there's a rule change, but I think there'll be some discussion about it, so it'll be an interesting discussion.
There's a lot of replay proposals, different ones on the docket as well. One would allow any kind of play to be reviewed. Another one would allow personal fouls, include those to be reviewed. Another one would allow the referee, when he's under the hood, to consult with a league official or someone as to what he's seeing or what he should be deciding. Any of those have a chance?
Well, I think that subject of allowing the referee to consult with the league office while he's looking at the replay is one that has a pretty good chance of passing. That's actually being proposed by the competition committee, and probably something we would be in favor of. I'd say some of the other things that are being proposed are less likely to pass. I think the whole subject of replay is going to receive a lot of debate. But in terms of any major changes, such as going to having the review take place in the booth or the review having being taken place in the league office, I think we're probably a year away from making that kind of a change. And I just think that the competition committee wanted to take a longer look at it before we, you know, go in a direction like that. So I think there'll be a lot of discussion about it, but I don't think there'll be dramatic changes to replay this year.
So this would be a referee seeking counsel if he feels he needs it, as opposed
right.
to a centralized body, and he just goes under the hood and says, hey, what happened? What's the call?
Yeah. I mean, the key question really is who actually makes the decision. And our system today is that the referee on the field actually makes the decision. This rule change would permit him to actually get some input from the league office. You know, I think the next step really is, do we take it out of the referee's hands and give it to somebody up in the booth or somebody in the league office? And, you know, there's some sentiment for doing that. I think that's closer to what the college system is. And so, as I say, I think it's something that will be considered and looked at, but I don't think that'll be, you know, on the table for a vote this time around.
And lastly, another thing that could be brought up is the sportsmanship. I know that's kind of gotten some news recently. If you could describe some of the things that could possibly be discussed.
Well, as you may know, John Wooten made a suggestion a few weeks ago that there be a 15-yard penalty imposed for the use of the N-word. And it's gotten a lot of discussion. And, you know, sportsmanship is on the agenda for this meeting, so I think that'll be discussed. Personally, I don't think it's the kind of thing that can be changed with a 15-yard penalty. I think it's a cultural thing, and I think it's really a matter of leadership. I think that, you know, the older players and the senior people in the league need to provide the kind of leadership and have the younger players kind of understand the history of behind that word, and something that I think we'd rather not have as part of the league. But it really is a cultural thing that I don't think you can change it with one new rule change. I think it really is a larger discussion, and it's probably a good thing that the discussion is taking place.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We are going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll catch you up on all things Steelers free agency.
Make your draft day memory at the 2014 Steelers Fan Blitz presented by Xfinity. Saturday, May 10th from 11 to 5 at Heinz Field, put your best foot forward while kicking field goals on the turf. Kids in grades 1 through 8 can learn football skills from current Steelers players, and everyone can get their autographs throughout the day. Also, the Steelers locker room will be open to fans all afternoon to tour. Tickets are $12 for adults, $5 for kids 12 and under. Don't miss the 2014 Steelers Fan Blitz presented by Xfinity. For details, visit Steelers.com.
To me, this Steelers dynasty of the 70s is the greatest football team, at least since the Earth's crust cooled. But I think non-Steeler fans can go to this book and learn about a real brotherhood. For 10 years and more, these Steelers were together, and now they're men in their middle 60s. Some of them have paid physical prices for playing the game. I think longtime Steeler fans will get to see this team as they've never seen it before, from the inside out. They'll get to be in the locker room with the Steelers. They'll get to be in the huddle with the steel curtain.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Another big thanks to Mr. Rooney for joining us. Let's talk free agency now, guys. We'll start with Guy Wimper, the veteran offensive lineman, signing a one-year deal with the Steelers.
Yeah, you know, the Guy Wimper signing, it's not what I would call a major development for the Steelers, but it does give them something that, in my opinion, this team has not had for some time, and that is depth along the offensive line. I mean, you now, with the addition of Guy Wimper to go along with the first six players in the depth chart there, plus re-signing Cody Wallace, that gives you eight players going into training camp with starting experience in the NFL. I don't know that there are too many other teams around the league that have that, and I think that it also gives Mike Munchak, the new offensive line coach, a nice group to work with. He's got a nice blend of youth, veterans, versatile guys, some guys maybe not so versatile, but with the potential to maybe, you know, play in Hawaii a few times. So I am more comfortable with the Steelers' offensive line situation, and I don't have to, you know, stand behind him or anything like Ben does, but than I have been for some years.
You know, you mentioned working with Munchak. You have the entire off-season program to do that right now, and instead of going to try to find a guy in late August or early September, need this or that.
Like a Guy Wimper?
Who's a fit, mm-hmm. Who's available. They can go ahead and figure out right away what the protocols are, what the policies are. Everybody's going to know the system. Everybody's going to be used to working with one another. I think they're way ahead of the curve right now.
And not to mention a healthy Marquise Pouncey
Yeah, that'll be big.
That's big, yes.
That's why I didn't mention it.
Okay, another signing by the Steelers, of course, defensive lineman Cam Thomas last Friday, adding some depth on the D-line. Obviously, that's kind of one of those areas where the Steelers do need free agency in the draft to try to replenish with the loss of Al Woods and Ziggy Hood.
Yeah, and, you know, let's be clear. I mean, you know, when you're looking at the overall Steelers moves in free agency, Mike Mitchell, who joined us last Thursday here, was signed to be the starting free safety. Cam Thomas was signed to provide depth and compete at one or two spots, you know, and we won't know if it's one or two spots until he gets up to Latrobe, puts on the pads, and the Steelers are able to evaluate him, you know, actually playing football. So, you know, the Cam Thomas thing gives you a guy who maybe can play two positions. You couple him with Steve McClendon, who is a guy who can maybe play two positions, and you have Cam Hayward. You know, at least you have some options, some pieces to work with in order to, as you mentioned, Missy, because the defensive line is very thin.
Yeah, it takes a little pressure off the draft.
Yes.
Your hope is that one of these guys is the nose tackle and one of these guys is a defensive end. Maybe they're both, which would be great. Minimum standard requirement, get each of those positions filled. Cam Thomas, not a guy that when you call around the league and talk to people in the industry, it's, hey, what do you think of Cam Thomas? A lot of times you get, who? But sometimes that's the way it is with backup defensive linemen. So there is a body in place and there's an opportunity at hand.
So let me ask you this, Mike. Do you think this shuts the door on Brett Kiesel possibly coming back to the team?
No, I don't think it does.
You're not closing it yet?
No? I mean, it's not my call, but I think there's still some depth to be acquired at that position. Might be a deal where the Steelers wait and see what happens with the rest of free agency, what they're able to get in the draft, what Brett's options are other than here. I think that's still a fluid situation.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, when you look at the numbers, you know, last year the Steelers brought 11 defensive linemen to training camp. Today they have 6 under contract. So there are plenty of seats left on that particular bus.
Okay, let's talk now about some Steelers free agents who did leave. The first one we'll touch base on, of course, Jericho Cotchery, just announced today by the Carolina Panthers. He has signed a 2-year deal, guys. He went to NC State. His wife's family's from there, but he made it seem, at least he talked the talk at the end of last season, loved playing for Coach Tomlin, loved the Rooneys, loved playing with Ben, 10 touchdowns. I mean, really that veteran presence amongst the group of wide receivers, including Antonio Brown, and he's gone.
Well, I mean, that's the way. I don't believe for one second that Jericho Cotchery was insincere with any of those things that he said at the end of last season. You know, however, the situation as it developed, you know, the Steelers are in a situation where they don't have a lot of salary cap room. And the situation down in Carolina is that they are desperate.
Well, they need a wide receiver.
They need, yes, and they need wide receivers. And so I think that they were highly motivated to get something done. And Jericho Cotchery, as we have learned from working with him while he was with the Steelers, he's a class guy, a true professional. And so he would be attractive to the Carolina Panthers. You know, but in terms of, you know, his role for the Steelers, you know, he wasn't going to be a starter. And I think that if he were going to be a starter in 2014, that would indicate that the Steelers had somehow failed at that position this offseason. So, you know, Lance Moore is a guy who was in for a visit here. There are guys out there to replace Jericho Cotchery in terms of the role that he would have had with the Steelers in 2014. You know, I don't want to say, you know, see you later, sayonara, or anything.
Right.
But I don't think that it's a disaster either.
Yeah, it puts a little bit more pressure, I think, on Marcus Wheaton to develop and on Ben Roethlisberger because the trust factor, I think, that he had established with Jericho Cotchery was pretty significant. Ben Roethlisberger knew when he called Cotchery's number, he knew he was going to be where he was supposed to be, and the chances were pretty good he was going to make the play. Now the deck reshuffles again. Ben is going to have to develop that familiarity, not just with Marcus Wheaton, but with whoever winds up coming in here. Not an insignificant development last year, Labs, that Marcus Wheaton's locker was right next to Ben Roethlisberger's, and they spent a lot of off-the-field time in close proximity. There are plans for Marcus Wheaton, and there were going to be plans for him whether Jericho Cotchery was back here or not. I'm kind of sorry to see Cotchery go on a personal note because he was great in the room. Really yeah. had a great veteran perspective. When you talk to him, you didn't just get the standard spiel. You got, not full disclosure, but pretty close. And I thought he was a good spokesman for the team, but he's in a situation where it's probably his last contract, at least his last major one. He needed to cash in, and the Steelers needed to make this position fit.
Well, not to mention it was Marcus Wheaton who just raved about Cotchery and said, he took me under his wing. I followed him around. I pretty much annoy him because Marcus Wheaton said, I'm like Cotchery's shadow. I want to do everything he does. He's always at the same place at the same time. So at least he had that 1 year with Cotchery to learn how to be a professional, like you said, on many levels that we all knew that Cotchery was.
Yeah, and it's time to push the little
training wheels.
No, the baby Robin out of the nest and fly on your own. I mean, he did get a year with Jericho Cotchery, and now Marcus Wheaton going into a second NFL season. It's time.
Okay, and singing with
Is that
the wide
really how they do that? They just push them out?
Yeah.
They either fly or
and they don't.
Straight
right.
down.
Right.
Okay, sticking with wide receivers, I'll bring you guys back in.
I kind of like that. You find out right away, and then you draft another Robin if it doesn't work out.
Kick him out. Okay, Emmanuel Sanders also testing the free agency market. He did sign with the Denver Broncos. So, again, what we've kind of already talked about, but like you said, Lab's not sounding the alarm, but wide receiver is a position where the Steelers need some more bodies.
Yeah, right. And, you know, and Emmanuel Sanders, good for him. He's going to a good situation with a quarterback who will – boost his statistics exponentially. But, you know, again, I'm going to say what I said about the defensive line in that, you know, if Emmanuel Sanders was a starter for 2014, the Steelers, in my opinion, had not done enough in the offseason to upgrade that position. So Emmanuel Sanders, to me, in this league is a three-slot receiver kind of guy. Here he was playing the role of a number two, and he was miscast for that role, and the Steelers needed to do better than him as a starter. So, it was a situation where it was kind of inevitable that he was going to leave because someone would pay him more than the Steelers would be able to pay him to stay, and, money talks.
Yeah, I never had any doubt he was going to go where the biggest check was, and I wasn't really anticipating that would be here. I think Emmanuel Sanders is an interesting guy at the stage of his career that he's in. He's got a pretty good physical skill set. He competes, he works, he battles. Not consistent enough to mention or to fulfill the role that you mentioned, that of a starter. But what if he cleans that up? What if he gets better? What if he stops literally dropping the ball as often? This guy's career may take off. It may not. I don't know that that's a roll of the dice you want to take right now, given the financial situation the Steelers are in.
Right. That's something that you don't want to be asking yourself that question as he's signing that big contract.
Yeah.
What if he cleans
up? Are we doing the right thing here?
Right.
Is this going to be worthwhile?
Right, exactly.
Although 3 years from now, he might look at it and say, hey, the guy had a pretty good upgrade to his career, and he got his game together. He became consistent. He's a pretty good receiver. You might say that. You might not.
Okay, well, last week I gave you guys kind of a little running back quiz to see if you could name other guys other than Le'Veon Bell and Will Johnson on the roster. Nothing new to really report in that area in terms of actually signing somebody or picking someone up in that department.
Yeah, Maurice Jones-Drew was here for a couple of days visiting, having the medical stuff done. The situation with him to me is that, you know, this is a guy who still perceives himself as a starter in this league, and the Steelers do not have a starting job open at running back. They have Le'Veon Bell, and to me, you know, messing with that would be extremely foolish, and I don't think the Steelers would be that foolish. I think that what this was about was, you know, earlier this season, there was a survey done of NFL players. Who do you want to play for? Which coaches would you like to play for? Mike Tomlin was second. So this, to me, was an opportunity for the Steelers to take advantage of a little bit of Mike Tomlin's Q rating with players around the league. You bring in a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew. You tell him what the deal is here. You explain things to him. You explain the salary cap situation here. And, hey, Maurice, if, you know, you make a bunch of other trips and there's really nothing you like,
come
you want to come back. We, you know, you can come back for a role here. We'll give you a one-year deal. You can hit free agency again, and you know, maybe you hit it big, or you find something that you like better next year that you didn't find this year. So, yeah, you kick the tires on this thing, and who knows? You know, maybe June 15th, Maurice Jones-Drew says, you know what? Yeah, let's go to La Trobe. So,
that's what you're going to say, right?
July 5th, not June 15th.
I think you hit the nail on the head when you said how he perceives himself, because we know this much about Maurice Jones-Drew. The Steelers don't think he's a number one back. The Jacksonville Jaguars don't think he's a number one back. And I'm here to tell you there's some other teams out there that no longer think he's a number one back. A lot of carries, a lot of hits, a lot of injuries of late. But if he comes around to realizing that he is the guy that Jacksonville actually took pains to limit his touches last year, if he can turn the page on his career and be the compliment to Le'Veon Bell, hey, pretty nice compliment to Le'Veon Bell. If it could work out here, I think that could be an ideal situation. But first and foremost, Maurice Jones-Drew is going to have to realize, you know what, I'm not the guy anymore. I'm not going to lead the league in rushing anymore. I'm going to touch the ball maybe 12 times a game, 14 times a game, but I can do some damage if I make the most of those 12 to 14 touches.
Right, and I'm not playing with Blaine Gabbert anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not playing in a stadium that they tarp the upper deck because
all
there's no,
positives,
they can't buy sell the tickets. And
but he's got to realize that.
Those six silver footballs that I walked past, you know, I have a much better chance of actually getting my name on one of those in Pittsburgh than in Jacksonville at this stage of my career. So, yeah, these are the kind of things. I mean, we see around the NFL that there are, you know, veteran kind of players. Jericho Cautry was one a few years ago that at one point occupied a certain role on their team, had a certain status on their team. That is not the case anymore. And, you know, maybe they want to go somewhere that they feel they have a better chance to win and compete for a championship. Again, you know, if Maurice Jones-Drew is interested in all those things, there could be a seat on the bus for him on the way to La Trobe.
You know, it's a decision a lot of times quarterbacks have to make. They start for a while, and then all of a sudden they're not perceived as a starter anymore. They're a backup. The difference is the backup running back gets to play and
right.
gets to play significant snaps. The backup quarterback does not. So I'm going to keep an eye on Maurice Jones-Drew, because I think if he's right with it mentally, there might be a fit here.
All right, so let's move on to James Harrison. He Steelers Dynasty Week on NFL Network. I'm not sure if you guys have been enjoying some of the replays that they've been having on there, but he joined Ike Taylor on a segment and basically said, hey, look, everybody knows I'd love to go back to Pittsburgh. And he said, Mike, I got a quote for you here. I'm going to go until the wheels fall off or until nobody wants to put wheels on it. So do you think maybe this is a fit, bring back James Harrison, or do you think James is done?
I don't see the fit, because I don't think James is a special teams player at this stage of his career. And remember, he got into the NFL being a spectacular special teams player. I'll say this, from what I saw him from Cincinnati last year, now, he was not an every down linebacker anymore, but when he was on the field, he was not a weak link. He was not challenging for Defensive Player of the Year honors. But if you're looking for an experienced number three outside linebacker that can maybe get you through a couple quarters or a couple of weeks, maybe he's the guy. But I think that guy still has to be able to play some teams, and I don't know that James Harrison can take up a spot on the game day roster and do enough for you to make it worth your while.
Right. To me, a similar conversation that you would have with Maurice Jones-Drew, you would need to have with James Harrison. It would be a different kind of one because, you know, James Harrison comes back here as one of this franchise's great players of the last 10, 15 years. So, you know, if he can get his head around what his role would be here, what he might have to do to be here, what the Steelers would be able to afford to bring him back in terms of a contract, you know, I'm willing to talk about that too because, you know, once again, you're looking at a depth chart where, no, James Harrison would not be a starter for you at outside linebacker, but he'd be your number three out of the, you know, you start two. He's number three right now.
Right. But and that guy's got to cover some kickoffs and punts, right?
I understand. Well, yeah, you would think so. And I don't know that if you would ask James Harrison that, I don't know that he would say, no, I won't do that.
Interesting question.
I think that there are some, he probably would not have done it for Cincinnati, but he would, I think, if James Harrison would agree to playing special teams again, would have to be here.
I think another factor here is how much of him do you, you mentioned the great career here, and he was part of the personality of the team and the presence and the leadership and all that stuff. I don't think you get that from a backup outside linebacker, so he would not be able to kind of come in and pick up where he left off that way. He'd have to sort of shift. You know, some guys are out front in the engine pulling the train, and some guys are in the back in the caboose pushing it. I think he would be relocated.
Yeah, again, a conversation would have to take place, and, you know, you gauge his interest and willingness. You know, as Mike Tomlin says, you know, I know what you're capable of. What are you willing to do? I think that that's the conversation you have with James Harrison.
A lot of analogies today from you guys. I'm going to write those ones down. The baby bird was a good one.
You like that one?
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, that's going to do it.
Now, if the bird falls on the train track, that's bad.
We won't compare somebody with that analogy. How about that?
No baby birds were harmed in the filming of this episode.
All right, well, that is going to do it for us here today on Steelers.com Live at 4. For Bob and Mike and Missy, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Thursday with a complete wrap-up of the annual meeting in Orlando, Florida.